You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, we are wrapping up our series this morning on generosity. We've been in a series on generosity all month long. This is the last Sunday. Some of you are, you've been waiting for this last Sunday of this series. You're like, I've got five friends I want to invite, and now I finally can. I will say, next sermon series is totally invitable. We're going to be looking at the final words from Jesus that he shared with his disciples leading up to his death. We'll be looking at those slowly together as we march towards the death and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating Easter. So it'll be a longer series, but it'll be a powerful series, one where people can experience the love of God. But I will say, you can experience the love of God through talking about generosity as well. You know, we're only generous because he has been generous to us. He's given us everything, including his son. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've actually seen four people give their life to Christ for the very first time during messages about giving, which feels a little counterintuitive. Many think churches shrink when you start talking about money, but apparently the kingdom grows. The kingdom grows, and we're so thankful for those salvations. And if you're here this morning and you just realize, man, I've actually never made a decision to follow Jesus. I've never gone all in with Jesus. I want you to know that at the Vineyard, part of who we are is we are people who invite folks to start a relationship with God. And if you just realize, maybe I've been around church, or I've talked about Jesus before, or I've heard things, but I've never made an actual decision to follow Jesus, by the end of our service this morning, we'll invite you to go all in with God. And it won't be perfect. You'll need help, and you'll have to start again and start again and start again. But the first decision to follow Jesus is always the most important, and we'll help you do that if you'd like to do that later in our service. But I do want to say, overall, the message is going to be a little different today. It's going to be a little different today because I'm only going to do an introduction and a conclusion. We actually have a panel interview, folks from our church that are going to share with us about their journey in and through generosity. I'm really excited that you'll hear more from them than you'll hear from me this morning. But I want to start the conversation by opening the Bible together. In the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says this. It is actually quoting Jesus from earlier in his life, because in Acts he's already resurrected. It says this: you should remember the words of Jesus Christ, or of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I don't know how that lands on you, but the first time I read that, I thought, nah, I really like getting gifts. It's more blessed to receive than it is to give. If you've raised kids, you know, like, you have to teach them to be generous. There are some children that just have like a natural temperament to give, but if you start taking their favorite things, they will show you how much they want their things. We're not born believing Acts 20. We're not born believing that it's better to give than it is to receive. That has to be formed within us through the love of Christ and through the love of others. I think we all need to wrestle with the reality that we have, to varying degrees, trust and believe in Acts 20 that it's better to give than to receive. I mean, how much do you really believe in that? And if you really, really, really believe in it, how much does your life reflect that belief? If you believe, because it's one thing to mentally agree with it, it's a whole other thing to like live that promise out, that it's better to give than it is to receive. As a pastor, I spend a lot of time with people towards the end of their life. I meet with family members, I visit hospitals and homes, I engage with people sometimes in the last days, last hours of their life on earth, and I have yet to ever hear from anyone in those moments, you know, Jeff, I wish I would have been more selfish. I wish I would have just spent more money on myself. I wish I would have just had more things around me in the last part of my life. Nobody says that. Almost everyone says, I wish I would have been more generous with everything I have. I wish I would have given more. I wish I would have given more love, more time, more resources. I wish I would have been more generous. Steve Jobs once famously said, being the richest person in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. You can't take your stuff to heaven. You can't do it. You can't take your investments to heaven, but strangely, the Bible does teach us that you can invest in heaven. You can invest in the kingdom of God, and those are eternal investments that live on for years and generations. We can do that through sacrificial generosity among very many different things. And so to continue this conversation, what I want to do is I want to invite the moving company of Vineyard Church of the Rockies to come on and help me with the couches and the chairs. We're going to just take a moment to transform this space into a little bit of a living room. And then once the chairs and tables are up, I'm going to invite the panel members to come and speak. I know everyone's looking around. There's strange things happening. This isn't a normal Sunday. But we want to do this because I want you to hear from the folks in our church so that you can wrestle with this question. It is better to give than it is to receive. I was supposed to do that before the couch got moved because that was a little heavier than I thought it was going to be. Thanks, guys. And if you're on the panel, you want to make your way on up here as well. Can we welcome Julio Garcia and Kendra Armconnect and Barry Bailey up to the stage? Let me grab that mic. Yeah, give that to Barry. That'll be Barry's. Come on up, Barry. Just a couple of quick introductions kind of as we find our seat. This is Julio Garcia, by the way. Julio Garcia has been in our church for 37 years. It's pretty amazing, 37 years, originally from Ecuador, moved to the States to go to college, met Jackie, his wife there, who's here. You've got some kids here as well. And getting to know Julio, I mean, he's become a trusted friend and confidant. He's on our board of directors, and so we spend a lot of time together. But you've also said, hey, generosity works, but it also gets passed down, and all of your children are generous today. And so I just want to encourage the parents, as you parent your children, these are things that can be parented. These are things that can be discipled into your children, which is really great. Next to Julio is Kendra Armconnect, which is a really fun name to say. And double down, she's from Ogallala, Nebraska originally, which is also really fun to say. So do we have someone else from Ogallala or just Nebraska? No one's claiming it. No one is claiming that. No, Kendra, how long have you been at the Vineyard? 18 years, and she's served almost everywhere. Kids ministry, outreach teams. We recently went to Zimbabwe together, same with Julio, and we've just gotten to know each other really well over the years, and you are someone that just makes building the church and the kingdom of God fun. And so grateful that you're joining us as well. You'll share a little bit more of your story, no doubt. And then finally, we've got Barry Bailey here sitting next to me. Barry and I have become friends over the last few years when we found out that we both played for the same high school basketball coach. Coach, yeah, stand up, Barry. Now, let me just imagine what's going on. He happens to make me feel like the smallest guy on the team every time I'm around this guy, huh? No, Barry actually played. I sat on the bench. That's really the truth. No, we both spent a lot of time in Kansas City. You grew up there. I spent early part of my adult life there, but I played for your coach when I was kind of the chaplain for that high school in a student staff game, and you actually played for him. Yes. And then you came to CSU, and you played 1, 2, 3, all the way up to small forward. You kind of played everywhere, played basketball at CSU, and has started a successful State Farm business here in town. And man, we've just become friends, family friends. I'm claiming it anyway. And so you can ask him later if that's real or not. But man, so thankful for you. You've been here over 20 years as well, right, at the Vineyard. So, yeah, grateful that you're joining us this morning. Well, I want to jump right in because I want to start hearing from you guys. And I think, Julio, we'll just start with you. I just want to pose the question to you. I think we'll all get a chance to answer this. But one of the things that I'd love to start us off with is just to tell us generally about your kind of journey towards generosity. And be as authentic and transparent as you're comfortable. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly, the false starts, whatever it is. Just tell us a little bit about your generosity journey.
So I became a Christian in college. I started tithing at the time. I had a small job in the school. And there were a couple times where I did some sacrificial giving, but it was, you know, I was a college student. I didn't really have or need much. During that time, I met my wife, Jackie, and we, you know, obviously we eventually got married, engaged. And when things got interesting is after we got married, right after we got married, a tiny bit of background is in college, Jackie was a superstar. She majored in computer science, math, and a minor in Spanish, which is how we became friends. She needed somebody to practice with, and I was happy to do that for her. Yeah, so
that's a good plan, by the way. I mean, like,
yeah. So she married me for my Spanish.
It is one of the romantic languages, so I can see why it's all getting connected here.
So but anyway, she was just pretty amazing. She, in the summer, she worked at IBM in Houston. She worked on the space shuttle. We eventually got married, which was a great story as well. The poor girl was blind. She looked like she walked out of a magazine, and I looked like I was 12. but anyway, we got married, and her first paycheck came in, and she sat down at the table and started, because I was going to graduate school. I wasn't working. And she sat down at the table and started writing the tithe check. And I looked at it. This was a really nice job. She was working for IBM. And I thought, well, what are they going to do with that money? You know, we could use a new TV. So I told her that, and she looked at me. And if you guys, any guys that are married, you know the look. And said, Julio, we are going to tithe. So,
period. Like that is just, that's the statement.
Exactly.
I want you to deal with this.
And so I backed up slowly, and we've been, and we have been tithing ever since. So, so that's how we got started.
Oh, I love it. And I think we've all had those moments for sure when we've been told what we were going to do. How long were you married, by the way? Like when this came up, when you found out you were a tither, did you?
Weeks.
Okay, so that was something that you learned.
Yep.
After you got married. In a lot of our premarital counseling and stuff that we do at our church, we always talk about generosity because, you know, money is one of those things that can create tension in relationships. And so I'm thankful for Jackie's firm stance in that and your willingness to have a successful marriage. How long have you been married now?
This year, it'll be 40 years.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. 40 years, that's really special. Thank you for sharing that. Kendra, I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, you can pass the mic to Kendra. Just, again, same question. Tell us a little bit about your journey towards generosity, whether that was good, bad, ugly, kind of all in between, and a little bit how your story interacts with that.
Yeah, I was raised in the church, and I watched my parents give faithfully, and so it was just part of life. I had kids young, and I was a single parent most of their childhood, and so finances were always a struggle for me. It was, you know, I was fighting to make sure bills were paid, so
yeah.
Tithing was scary, and I think I didn't feel worthy. I was like, okay, once I'm in a financial stable place, then I'll start giving. Because
yep.
I don't have enough to give.
Right. And did that financial stable place ever magically happen for you?
No, it didn't.
No,
it
was, so being a single parent is a grind, right? And
yes.
You've got Ken, you're trying to like navigate all these things. And so, yeah, I get that. I know you eventually started to practice kind of generosity, but where would you say something happened in your life where you were kind of like, man, this is the point where it didn't make sense, but I started to try anyway.
Yeah, I'd say probably 2017, I started just giving very minimal, maybe like 40, 50 bucks a month, way under 10%. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit, and in my profession, I was out of work for 7 weeks.
So tell us what you do, just so we know.
I'm a hairstylist.
Yeah, so like you couldn't, they shut you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had no way of bringing any income in and had two teenagers at the time and didn't know what was going to happen. Yep. And so in the midst of that, just fear and trying to provide for my kids and myself. Vineyard, you had the toilet paper drive.
We did. Just for context, in case you forget, when COVID hit, people went crazy. And like we had shortages of toilet paper and hand sanitizer and the whole bit, but we used our commercial account to buy so many rolls of toilet paper. And then we had this guy named Jeff Borchert who like used to live in Uganda, I think, and made hand sanitizer on his own. So then we were like, come in and let's buy all the materials and let's make hand sanitizer together. And then we did an outreach and we gave all that stuff away to love our neighbors during an interesting time.
Yeah, it was a very hard situation for me to be able to, like, my pride and having to ask for help. And I was like, well, if I don't have to buy toilet paper for a little bit, then I can stretch my money a little bit longer. And so I remember just praying and coming up and receiving that gift. And it was a moment of surrender for me after that. And just I couldn't rely on myself. So all I had to rely on was God, finally. And so that was the breaking point. Yep. And trusting God really was crucial in that time. And I don't know how else to say it, but I kept paying my bills during that 7 weeks, and my bank account never went down.
Yeah.
It was a miracle. I still, like, tear up. Yeah. Thinking about the love that God showed me during that time. And so after that, and I was able to start working again, I never know what I'm going to make. Each week is different with clients. And so at the end of each work week, the first thing I do is tithe. And it's a joy I feel, and it's a way I can worship and thank him.
That's beautiful. So, I mean, a little bit of what I hear in your story is there was this kind of underlying tension of, I'm a single mom, I'm raising a couple of kids, I don't know if I'm going to have enough, but I kind of want to give, but just going to give whatever is around.
Yes.
And COVID led to this greater place of surrender and even experiencing the love and provision of God, which led to you beginning to give in a different kind of way that was marked by what I heard you say was worship.
Yeah.
And kind of a response to the way that he has loved you, and then the miraculous thing started happening. I mean, it's really interesting, right? Like how when you start to give, like almost unexplainable things start to happen in your life.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it just, incredible is the only way I can.
that's great. Thank you for sharing that. We'll come back to you guys in a minute. I want to hear from Barry a little bit. Barry, tell us a little bit about your journey with generosity and kind of what that's looked like, the highs, the lows, the false starts, or whatever it is that you would have to share.
Okay.
It might not be.
Testing.
There you go.
My journey basically started in Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up, I had two wonderful parents. Kansas City can be very trying.
Yeah.
A lot of economic issues and all kind of stuff going on. But I had two really good parents that led the way. They were older parents. And they were great examples for me. I know as a kid, we spent most of our time in the church. And I witnessed my mother giving in different ways. And I witnessed my father making provisions to pay a tithe each and every week. And sometimes I would think, we have barely enough food to eat.
Yeah.
You know, how are you able to tithe? And I just felt that was a little weird. But as I grew up and understood things better, my father and my mother are both trying to be good stewards and put Christ first in every aspect of their lives. I kind of liken my journey to, you know, pre-marriage and post-marriage because, you know, once you get married, you have to kind of get your house in order and you're going to impact other people's lives in a deeper way. So prior to being married, going to college and being absolutely broke during college, after graduating and getting a job and really just trying to figure things out.
You were broke during college?
Absolutely broke.
They didn't have those NIL deals for you guys
back then? That's a good, I wish they did, but they didn't. So But being absolutely broke, I could understand it because we had always been broke, right?
Yeah.
So, but once I got employment and start, you know, getting to my career and making a little money, it really was just no management involved. I would just buy things I thought I needed, and
yeah.
I was just living life. But I always knew that I had a vision for my family, that we wanted to be tithers. We wanted to respect God in all aspects of our lives, and tithing was part of that. And upon getting married, my wife and I made a decision that we're going to tithe, and we were going to put God first. And that meant to me that we were going to tithe first and not after we paid for our bills.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of courage for us. It was tough. It was during a time in which I was starting a business. Just got married. We had a young family. I was a sole wage earner.
Plenty of ways to spend the money.
Plenty of ways to spend the money, exactly. But we wanted to put our faith in God fully. And I must say that God has blessed us. I truly believe that as we give a little, God gives us back a lot. And as I told my wife, I really believe God allows us to see our blessings clear when you give.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're out trying to consume and get more and get more, we don't see the little blessings in our lives.
Yeah.
And God really opened that door for us to see
yeah.
that.
It's almost like generosity begets thankfulness in a lot of ways,
yes.
right? Like
yes.
it helps you
yeah.
really see what's happening all around you. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
Julio, I want to switch gears just a little bit. I want to ask you a little bit about how generosity has begun to impact your life. And so maybe if I could just put it succinctly, like how has giving changed your life? Or what has God done to transform your heart through the process of generosity?
Yes, so giving can be hard, right? I think that the transformation that's happened in my life is I began to see how compassion can sort of lead the way into giving, because the math can be hard. If somebody hasn't had a job for a long time, what can they do? And the only way I can think about it is compassion is how sacrificial giving meets joyful giving,
mm-hmm.
and at the other side of that. Is where generosity is really born. And that is the only way that I can, set aside the math and actually give in a way that I think that, is godly.
Yeah.
So that's probably, it's something that's still happening. I find myself sometimes still doing the math, and it's hard, right? Because
yeah.
it exposes my heart. But if I think in terms of compassion, it just becomes easier. So
yeah, it is interesting how like sometimes the math equations can they can impact how we experience the gift of generosity, and how you start doing those math equations, the compassion can be pushed off of the center. But I love what you're saying. When that becomes the fuel for it, it actually becomes more joyful.
Yep.
Which means it's a little bit easier, even.
Yep.
And then hard the next week, because I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like up and down. I mean, we're all on a journey. So, Kendra, what about you? Same question. How has generosity transformed you? What have you seen God do in your life through kind of the faithful demonstration of consistent generosity?
I think the biggest thing for me is... it's stopped me from relying solely on myself, and I'm fully trusting God. I mean, I definitely have moments where I have to fight that, but that's been the biggest transformation. And I can see, just compassion, like you were talking about, compassion for others and seeing the compassion that God's had for me
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah, both ways, right? Yeah. What about you, Barry? What's God done in your life through generosity? How's it changed you?
Well, it's changed me in that, it's a calling for me, really. I think seeing my parents as examples of generosity, I try to live in that. it's been freeing. It's a freeing experience to give than always to receive. Yep. There's a lot of joy that comes with seeing someone with gratitude. I think for me, you know, the transformation piece has been, you know, making God greater than money.
Yeah.
And I truly believe if I want to get to heaven and I want to experience God fully on earth, I feel as if I need to relinquish the control of the things that are most powerful. And most prominent, powerful thing, I believe, sometimes is money.
Yeah.
And the toughest thing to do is to give. Yep. You know, and it could be monetarily, but it could also be in other ways, too. And so I do take chances. My wife sometimes questions things. And she takes chances, but we trust that it's for the right reasons, and God will bless those decisions we make.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. A couple more rounds of questions, if you guys can hang with me for a little bit longer. I'm curious, Julio, I mean, you shared a little bit of your own journey as a college student. You gave a little bit, and then Jackie kind of laid down the family norms that you guys were going to be giving. But if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, or if you could imagine maybe someone in our church who's struggling to take that first step towards generosity or to give sacrificially, what would you maybe say to that person or say to yourself when you were younger and kind of learning how to do that?
Yeah, the biggest thing, I think, is, you know, we can be so governed by fear of the unknown. And I have found, you know, just looking back over the years, that God's always been there for us, right? And even when things have been hard, one of the amazing things about being a part of a community is that we are each other's safety net. And so this is really hard for me. I tend to worry, right? But the biggest thing is, you know, exhale. It's going to be okay, right? God's got this. And, yeah.
That's great. Kendra, what about you? I know you've had a journey with giving, with generosity, I think you even said relinquishing some of that control, really trusting God and surrendering to Him. So if you could tell yourself from 30 years ago or 20 years ago or anyone in our church who's maybe struggling to give, what would you say? How would you coach or pastor that person?
I would say I see you and I understand the fear and the trust. It's so hard to trust and just jump, but I would say just jump and test God, because He's going to catch you, and the freedom that you'll feel once you do that, like, that's the one thing I wish I could have experienced 20 years ago sooner.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you. Barry, this is going to be our last question, so we're going to lead with you, then we'll go back. I'm curious if you have particular hopes for your own journey with generosity. I mean, we're always on a journey. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago, and hopefully we're all more mature in 10 more years. Right? So what are your hopes for your own personal walk with God when it comes to generosity, or maybe your hopes for our church and our local community? Like, what would you say about that?
I think my hopes for myself and my family as far as giving is that we continue and that we can stay consistent in our giving. Also to increase our giving as God has blessed us. My hope for the church is I think we have a great opportunity with the Love FOCO Center to be a beacon for the community of Fort Collins. And also realize if a lot of people give a little, we will probably be able to do a lot.
Yeah.
And I do believe in what you have going here at the church. I believe in this community here. This church has been there for me and my family during good times and bad times, and we're very appreciative of that. I think we need each other, and it's important that we can build a community together and support one another and lift each other up. And who's to say, you know, at some point we're all going to need a helping hand. And I think the Love FOCO has going, and its intentions I think it could be a blessing for this entire community.
Yeah. And just a quick update, just because, I mean, you brought Love Foco up. Here's something we can kind of celebrate a little bit together. We're well over $1 million now, which is incredible.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. Really close to $1.1 million raised, and we just need 1.4 to get things going. So you're talking $300,000 is what remains, which invigorates me. And, man, I know your family's been a part of helping get things going, and I think you're right. I think Love Foco will be a beacon of light and hope for people who are in need of assistance, and so we're excited to get that up and going. How about, Kendra, let's go with you. Can you just maybe mention, you know, how would you respond to that? Hopes for yourself or hopes for our church moving forward, kind of in this space of generosity?
I think the hope for myself is just that God continues to work on my heart, and that my generosity and that joy for him and trusting him grows. And the same hope is for us, anyone struggling with giving or that may be in a similar situation that I was in. My hope is that you can find freedom and joy, that God's got you.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Julio, we'll wrap up with you then. This will be the last question, answer, just kind of, but the same question, I guess. Just want to hear from you. Hopes for yourself, hopes for our church when it comes to generosity moving forward.
So I have to go back to compassion. You know, Jesus was motivated by compassion. He felt compassion and healed the leper, healed, others. And I really think that compassion is going to set you free in the area of giving. It has began, it's continually, you know, set me free for sure. I think it's also important to know, being on the board with Brian, Daryl, and Marianne, we are very, very careful about our financial resources. This church has been, since day one, has been known for being generous, for serving the community. Love Foco is just the newest example of that. And it is just amazing how God has used this community to serve our city, to serve Northern Colorado, and your generosity enables that. So I encourage you to, be moved by compassion, to see the needs out there and to see the possibility that particularly something like Love Foco today can do to serve our neighbors. So
that's great, Julio. Thank you for sharing that. And it's not every day we get a board member up on stage either, so thank you for the way that you help our church and bless our church with your leadership and wisdom as well. That I'm going to transition us into a time of conclusion, so you guys can kind of turn your mics off, and you can leave it right on the couch. It's probably fine. But can we thank these guys for sharing part of their journey and part of their heart? I can take it, Barry. Yeah. You guys want to sit down? Go ahead. And I'm gonna close by reading one more passage for you, and then invite you to join in this space of generosity. Isaiah 32, verse 8 says, "But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity." Isaiah 32, verse 8. People who are generous plan their generosity, and they stand firm in their generosity. I just want to give you an invitation here as I wrap up, that if this is your home church, I would like to invite you to give consistently and generously to this community. Over the last few weeks, I've shared a lot of theological implications and a lot of truth from Scripture about what happens to our relationship with God, what happens to our heart, what happens to our community, and the impact that we can have when we give. But I also just want to make sure that I personally invite you to give and give consistently. Turns out that people who are the most generous plan it, and they strategize about it, and they pray about it, and they revisit it. And consistent generosity almost always outgives sporadic generosity. Almost always. And chapter 32, again, it says, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. If you went to our website right now or went to votrweekly.org, there are some easy steps that you can take to make a recurring monthly gift and join us in what we're doing, not only in this community, but in the greater Northern Colorado area. And we'd love for you to be a part of that, no matter what that number means for you. Because again, it's not so much about that, it's about the heart, and it's about your faithfulness to what God has given to you and how you're stewarding all the blessings that he's placed in your life. And so pray about that and consider joining us today. Let me pray, and then we'll move into a time of normal reflection and ministry.